Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to this study in Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 30, titled, Be Accounted the Greatest. Look for the conclusion of this two-part study at our website, BBFOhio.com, where you will find our live stream player, and you can join us Sundays at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. if you're unable to join us for services. That's bbfohio.com, where you'll also find our contact and donation information. And with that introduction, we begin with a current events update, and then our study in Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 30, titled, Be Accounted the Greatest. This is part one of two.
The current events update. Of course, Chinese balloons. I've never had more questions about balloons in my life. And most of you have seen this. It was a big balloon up in the air. And this was taken by amateur photographer in Montana. And I turned his voice off. It's just it was Breitbart is where they posted the video. And this is the path that they say it took from China. It went up to visit Alaska and then come down through Montana and eventually over to South Carolina. And that's where it was shot down.
We're checking with the Associated Press. We're checking Twitter on several different official... I believe it just happened there. That was it. Live, raw, and unfiltered, it appears that that China spy balloon has now been shot down over the Atlantic Ocean. You are taking a live look here, live, raw, and unfiltered, as that balloon appears
That's
to
pretty
be
cool.
heading
so
downward.
So what many seem to not consider is that this could have been a test run for EMPs. That's the big one. If it was a spy balloon, you know what? They've got satellites up there. They spy all the time. We have congressmen sleeping with Chinese spies and everything. It's always going on. People are shocked to find out that the British spy on Americans and the Americans spy on the British and the, Israel spies on everybody and everybody spies on Israel. You know, it's just been that way. But an electromagnetic pulse bomb is a big threat. To put it this way, if we're hit by... about a dozen of those, or some people say we'd only need about half a dozen, from about the height that that balloon was, then we might be here today, but only those of you probably who could have walked in. And then we would have been in the dark. We wouldn't have had any internet audience. My camera probably wouldn't even work to record it, unless you have... a Faraday, is that what they call it, shield, to block your anything with a computer chip. And you say, well, what about light bulbs? Well, our grid would go, and so you wouldn't have any light switches working or anything.
An EMP pulse is a very dangerous threat, and it's a realistic threat. It's something that would basically, if you're not nuclear hardened, it will basically shut down any digital computer that is operating in the range of the EMP. So if you set off an EMP, a high altitude burst EMP, basically every light in this hotel is going to go off, every computer is going to go off, every cell phone is going to go off. That's what an EMP does.
From a very low yield nuclear detonation from a very simple small missile or even a weather balloon launched up 20 miles above the earth can be absolutely devastating to the transformers and the rest of the electrical infrastructure.
That gives you a little taste of it. You can do a little more research on that. But the EMP, in other words, is a nuclear blast, but it doesn't, it's not a Nagasaki, Hiroshima. It's up in the air, and you would see the light from the blast, and please don't look at it if it happens, because it could be blinding. But if it happens, then that blast would then result in, just within a millisecond, everything's shutting down on you. And I skipped that, but the reason why we should be concerned about these balloons is you saw that even said it could be a weather balloon type thing that's sent up that then detonates. And I'm going to do something you don't hear me do very often, but I'm going to defend Joe Biden on this. If what we're being told is true, then Joe Biden told the military to deal with it, but he didn't tell them exactly what to do. Thank God. You don't want Joe Biden making those decisions, folks. But that's usually what a commander-in-chief does. He tells his generals yes or no, and then they make the decisions. It was very smart to detonate that over the Atlantic Ocean. If it had been detonated over Montana, then Noah would be out of touch with his parents for a while, or Missouri, or wherever. So when you detonated over the Atlantic Ocean, if it had been a nuclear blast, there would have been very little effect or fallout. So I always tell you these things because, you know, some people think that if they turn on a conservative or your favorite YouTube, you know, guy or whatever, they're clickbaiting you. They're telling you things to get you to watch their stuff. And these people who are screaming and yelling about how that Biden wasn't protecting our skies and all that kind of thing, it's clickbait. It's not true. China could have been responding to this.
But a new American technology involving microwaves called Leonidis already exists.
It's way ahead of anything else out there. You can blast microwave radiation and you turn off other electronics, you know, a mile away. The idea is that in the future, the people who control the electromagnetic spectrum will control the battlefield. I think it would be critical for defending any territory, including Taiwan, against China. You could have a city state, you could have a smaller island, and now you could turn off any electronic weapons, any, you know, any missiles, any ships, any cars from miles away.
Our military is arming Ukraine to use this technology, and it's against an ally of China, one of the BRIC nations that you've heard us talk about. We have NATO, they have BRIC, Brazil and Russia, etc. China is the C in BRIC. And China very well could have simply been sending a message saying, well, you've got your ways, we've got ours. You do that, then you're going to pay a price. And so that balloon was a message. And that's what we do all the time in our military. It's constantly message sending. And when you give a message of weakness, that's when you end up in wars. I am against any kind of aggressive wars. I think war is a racket. But I do believe in defensive wars, and I do believe in a strong defense. I believe that the best defense or the best way to avoid war is to have strong self-defense. A lot of nations just respond either you're strong or you're going to end up being attacked. I believe that was what baited Hitler to do a lot of things he did in World War II, for example. They were all a bunch of weak effeminates over in Europe, and they had a Chamberlain in England who had made it clear he was an appeaser. So what'd you end up with? World War II. Now there's a lot of other stuff I know that went on into World War II and everything. It wasn't that simple, but that played a part. And as I prepared this, I did find a few sources warning of the possibility that I just mentioned.
When you've got these blimps and you've got these dirigibles, you've got these balloons with big high-tech packages flying around, drifting around, and a lot of them have little propellers on the sides, or little boosters or thrusters. I don't know if this one does because we haven't gotten a shot of the top of it. But regardless, that could very easily be an EMP weapon package or a test package to test an EMP attack. And you can bet your bottom dollar China's got thousands of them lined up ready to launch and send over the North Pole right into the United States. They can detonate them over any targets they want. And with a couple dozen of these, you would guaranteed knock out everything above ground in the U.S.
So that's... And I'll say this again, if you those who think Alex Jones is crazy, but you're still watching CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, all those then you're just one of these guys here. Sheeple. But you're not getting the news from the so-called news. And you have got to use common sense. Of course, that was the better close-up shot of that. Does it? This is my favorite. Is it? Happy Valentine's Day, Eric Swalwell, from his Chinese spy lover, Fang Fang. That was my favorite of all. All right. But we talk about these things because you need to be aware, make preparations. Listen, most of the preparations you'd make for an EMP will come in handy if there's a tornado, a blizzard, you know, if you're a hurricane, if you're on the coast or whatever. Just be prepared so that anything like that happens, and then if it's an EMP, you're prepared. But have some food, have some cash, that sort of thing. We have water filtration in our home, and we urge you to do the same. We use Berkey. There's others out there. What was the one? Somebody else had another brand. Alexa Pure is another good one. Then you can buy big 50-pound bags of rice and then mix that with food and make it last longer. If it's going to be a few weeks before you can make it back to the grocery store, that's all those kind of things. It's just wise, folks, wise to do that. And think about these things. There have been people who, you know, in blizzards, people die because they don't really freeze to death all the time. There are people who don't understand. For example, there's a lady who died this year in Buffalo because she didn't recognize carbon monoxide poisoning taking place. And if she had thought about it, she would have understood there was something clogging up the exhaust. And so she went. If she could have walked out of her car just for a minute or two, cleared the area, and then the exhaust would have went out, and she'd been fine. She'd be alive today. There are people who die of dehydration during blizzards. Not even thinking about it. All you gotta do is take some of that snow and let it melt in your hand. It's just, so you gotta think, and that's what this is all about. We're stealing from Brother Bob Burney. He always said, LTD, listen, think, and discern.
Amen.
And that's what we want out of everybody here.
When I think of how he came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that the King would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. But to that old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave you never. If you be true, I'll give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son. fight my battles until they're won. For who am I? Who am I that the king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. But to that old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I?
That song is fitting for a Bible study this morning, so I thought I'd sing it. Plus, I know it's one of my mom's favorites. Aww. So I hope Mom was able to tune in this morning. Sometimes she'll get it the day after. But Luke 22, we're going to be in 24 through 30. Passover continues. We're still covering the day of the crucifixion, which began evening and will run to the following evening by Jewish reckoning of days. We call this the day of the crucifixion. And we remind you of the little calendar there. And we're still here. We're still at the meeting of Passover. On our reckoning, it would be a Tuesday night. So let's read from 24 to 30. Start with me in the even, verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen? So supper is over, and Jesus is fellowshipping with the fellas. You got to keep it real, folks. You're going to love the Bible if you keep it real. Jesus spent time hanging out with the fellas, and not all of them, not always just the fellas. There's a lot of ladies around, too. And then sometimes Jesus said, you know what, y'all getting under my last nerve, I'm leaving. I'm going out to, he'd go out in the mountain somewhere and pray. There's a time to get away too. But in verse 24, we're basically seeing some chest thumping among the men. There was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Yes, I'm the greatest, fly like a butterfly. Sting like a bee. Some of you have no idea who I'm talking about, but the older crowd, it wasn't too bad, was it? The younger crowd's like, I broke my back. Spinal. They think he's the greatest. We'll never know. But Jesus will now present the truth, which will contradict the way the world thinks. In verse 25, 26, he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. You know, that's how we think. If you walk into a room and you see some guy up on the stage, there's a big table, you know, and there's a guy in the middle, and then everybody, there's a bunch of people on each side, and you see the guy walking up and giving him his food and giving him his drink, you don't think that guy's the big guy, do you? That's how the world thinks. Who you think is the big guy? The guy up in the center stage or at the center of the table. And Jesus is going to tell you that as far as God's concerned, they've got it backward. Amen. They that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, which means that they're the ones that are the powerful who grant things. We're not benefactors. Now, it sounds like the word benefit, but it's not. we are not benefactors. We are on the other side. A benefactor is he who confers a benefit. You bring nothing that God actually needs. You know that? It's a privilege to serve the Lord. He can get along without Greg Miller. He doesn't have to have me. Some people have been sold that story when they got saved. You're so wonderful. God had to have you. And the truth is, God died for you in spite of you, not because of you. I should have brought my mug. The Bible, it's not about you. What's the Bible about? The Bible is about God. Amen. In the beginning, who?
God.
And it's all about God and what He did to save you from hell. What He did to save me from hell. That's what the Bible is all about. We are the servants of the benefactor. God is the one who bestows the benefits. And we receive that. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 says it's our reasonable service that we present our bodies as living sacrifices to serve Him because of what He's done for us. That's not the attitude even among most Christians today. And in the big mega churches and that sort of thing, you won't see that on being demonstrated. You see the exact same spirit of the world in churches and among Christians, that the guy with the money and the guy with the power is the guy. And a lot of churches then, what they'll do is they'll take the guys with the power and the money and all that, and that's who the deacons become, the deacon board. And then, so what do you get? Well, every once in a while, you'll find somebody who has some money and they love the Lord. I wouldn't obviously keep a man from a position of leadership because he has money. What I'm saying is, that's not supposed to be the qualification for being a deacon or elder or whatever your church calls their board. Now, there's a board of trustees that especially the 501c3 who deal like a business and have all that stuff going on, they have trustees. And if you've got a church like that and you need trustees, you definitely want people who know about money and know how to do things like that. It's not a slam. You don't even have to be 501c3. If you become a certain size and you own property and all that kind of thing, it's wise to have trustees. But if you have trustees, you don't want the guy who's gone through three bankruptcies and, has a hole in his pocket and the money never stays there. Just always a hole in his pocket. It's always, you know what I mean? It comes that way with deacons, it's supposed to be a spiritual position. Spiritual leadership. Your bank account only matters in so much that you're spiritually an example who pays his bills, saves when he's able to, gives the way he ought to, that sort of thing. But beyond that, he may not have a lot of money, but he's spiritually qualified to be a leader. And most churches today that I've known of, I'm telling you, they don't operate under that biblical model. They operate under the McDonald's model. And if you're McDonald's, that's the way to do it. But we're not McDonald's. So we are servants of the benefactor, our Heavenly Father. We serve the Lord. Now, look at verse 25 and 26 again, where it says, "He that is chief as he that doth serve." And I know a fella that people call chief, and he's a servant. I appreciate that. And down in southern Ohio, we had a guy that they called Chief. And that guy was always doing things for people. And it wasn't until after I got saved I realized, he's a Christian, by the way. But I didn't really think about it until I got saved. I thought, wow, that guy's a real example of what a real chief ought to be. Always helping, always serving. He that is chief as he that doth serve. So real leaders lead by example. I've had people over the years come to me and say, I think I'm called in the ministry. And there's been a few times where I said, no, you're not. How would you know that? You aren't called to the ministry when you don't have the spirit that Christ has to be a servant. Amen. When you're too good to clean a toilet, you're not called in the ministry. When you're too good to help take care of people when they need it, if you're too good to show up on work days and work right along with everybody else working, you're not called in the ministry. Because that's how ministry starts. That's where it starts. I don't want to hear you teach me anything unless I see you living it. And if you can't serve, you're not worthy of being a teacher. You're not fit to be a pastor. And I just described the majority of men that I know who call themselves pastors. They don't show up to help. They don't behind the scenes do things. I've worked alongside of my, I know, I've been with these preachers and they'll say things about how, you know, those days are over. Smell me. Yeah. And I thought,